Okay, so pre-code films of 1931.
31. The winner was, let me see here.
Cimarron, right?
Cimarron, the Western Cimarron.
Yuck.
Yeah, that movie did not age well.
It was really boring, and it starred, again, a huge preco dude is Richard Bartholomew. And right. Also, you know what I hate? And I love Irene Dunne, but I hate that she sings in movies. It really bugs me. I hate her operatic, you know, songs. It kind of goes like, I go like, ew. And then best actress was Marie Dressler in Min and Bill. I love Norma Shearer. I thought she was great in A Free Soul.
Yeah.
Best actor, Lionel Barrymore, A Free Soul. And Adolphe Mangeau for the front page was an also-ran.
Right.
Which I didn't like because I don't like Adolphe Mangeau.
Well, and part of it, well, and I think, you know, he has his place in a movie. I didn't think that his place was being basically the
romantic,
the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, the romantic lead, the opposite of Pat O'Brien, you know, in the very first front page.
Or with Barbara Stanwyck, who did a film with him. Jeez, what's the name of that film? She was a librarian. I'm looking at all this crap. And why would anyone fall in love with Adolphe Mangeau? But it was so funny. I read this thing about him, True Story of Tinseltown, that when he was not working, he collected unemployment.
Really?
Tight. Very tight. Very tightwadish, I would say. And I'm looking at all this stuff here. Cimarron, I just don't get. You know,
see this is a good year. As we were talking about, I think that the sensibilities in 1931 are a lot different than the way we look back at those movies because, you know, the nominees were Cimarron, then the nominees were East Lynne, which I don't even heard of. The Front Page, which is the Mangeau vehicle. Skippy, which is a movie with Jackie Cooper. It's
I'm
a kid's
I've
movie.
I've never seen it. Yeah.
And then Trader Horn is an African movie. It's like a safari movie.
Yeah, I've never seen that either. That one just.
I saw it too. It's one of those movies. I'm sure in 1931 it was a pretty big deal because it had a lot of scenes of you know animals in the wild and those kind of because they shot it down in Africa, and the actress in the movie whose name I've totally blanked on, she ended up coming down with like sleeping sickness or something and it basically ended her career. So, you know, it was sort of a neat movie for 1931, but again, it wouldn't be all that, Edwina Booth was her name. But yeah, so I mean, looking back, so when I look back at these movies, this is what I've got for 1931. I got, and actually there were some pretty good movies there.
Fabulous.
I had, these are my best pictures and I got about what, six of them. Jekyll and Hyde with Frederick March.
He was amazing.
Oh, he was. That was an awesome part for him. Frankenstein. And again, this is, I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at it in terms of some kind of artistic great merit. I'm looking at it from, you know, eyes that are, you know, 80 years in the future. Little Caesar, which I thought was a great movie.
Oh, I love that. And he was so
with Edgar
gay.
G. Robinson.
He was so gay in that film.
Yeah. Another movie, a fun movie that I liked is The Smiling Lieutenant with Miriam Hopkins and Claudette. Colbert
and she tells her how to wear really good underwear and stuff like that. Yeah, that was a fun movie. I like The Cheat as well with Tallulah Bankhead.
Yes.
Where she gets branded by that freako.
And then I had Public Enemy, sort of good, because this is the heyday of the gangster movie.
Fab.
And then also this is the start of the horror movie, so I also put Dracula in there.
They had some amazing movies. American, they had The Miracle Woman, which I liked a lot. Millie, which...
Millie was an interesting movie.
Which we see Joan Blondell and Lillian Toshman in bed together.
Yeah,
Safe in Hell. Did you ever see Safe in Hell?
No, I don't think I did. I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever actually seen the movie.
It's a good one. And she sacrifices herself, which is horrible. Strangers May Kiss. This movie gets me so angry. It's a Norma movie with that horrible Neil Hamilton. And it's just something you have to look at. 10 Cents a Dance, I loved. Waterloo Bridge with Mae Clark. There were some wonderful films. And
yes, there was. There was some very good movies in there. And there was that Waterloo Bridge. That's the one that starred...
Mae Clark. Yeah. Who was a huge... she's the one who got the grapefruit in her face.
Right. Right. From Jimmy Cagney. And it's funny because I think later in her life, that was mainly what her career was known for.
Yeah, and she was actually a very good and real actress. I liked her. She did not, you know, and she was really great friends with Barbara Stanwyck. They did acting together. So I'm looking at this now. We're here. Where are we? 20,000 Years in Sing Sing. A Bill of Divorcement, which was... Katharine Hepburn, Billy Burke, and John Barrymore, who plays a deranged maniac, and she decides not to get married because she has the genes of a deranged maniac.
Right.
Color Savage, you saw that as well as I.
That's Clara Bow.
Right, and that's where I know you said it beforehand, but. You know, they're saying she had sex with dogs, but she was wrestling with the Doberman in this. She was really a wild woman, like...
And that was also the movie she actually had a cat fight with Thelma Todd in that movie.
That was a good one, too. But I think my favorite cat fight is the one with Ginger Rogers and the unnamed actress, because they really beat the crap out of each other. I was like, this is some amazing, you know, beating each other up.
Well, I would think that I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Ginger, because I think she was a pretty tough cookie.
Yeah,
Ginger was sort of an outdoors girl before that was really sort of acceptable. You know, girls didn't want to get muscles and those kind of things, and she's very active. You know, from a sports and athletic perspective.
I thought she was amazing, and I still do.
I know. She's one of my, I think in terms of all-around talent, I think it's very hard to find somebody that can do literally, you know, dance with Fred Astaire and then also win a Oscar for a dramatic part. I mean, that's a lot of territory to cover.
I thought she was really good in Primrose Path. Did you ever see that one? It's really a good movie, and I thought that's what she should have won an Academy Award for. She was from a really, like, they lived on the wrong side of tracks times 25. Her father was a big drunk, but he knew about philosophy. Her mother was a hooker, but they didn't, and her grandma was a hooker in her younger days. And... Mm-hmm. Joel McRae was in it as well, and Ginger did really
well.
Yeah,
I remember that movie.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So I gave my pick for Best Picture was Little Caesar. I thought Edgar G. Robinson sort of played that part more than just being sort of a thug.
He was amazing. Yeah.
So I gave that, and he's also my pick for Best Actor. My pick for Best Actress was Claudette Colbert in Smiling Lieutenant. I had Norma's Tear for Free Spirit. That's for a nomination. I had Barbara Stanwyck in Night Nurse.
Oh, I loved how she slugged people in that. She was fabulous.
There's there's a lot of women initiating violence.
Yes, my goodness.
Because remember, in Night Nurse, the husband of the and the father of the two babies, he's drunk and he was trying to and she just walloped him and he ended up like crawling away.
Oh, it wasn't the father, it was Clark Gable, who was the Nick, the chauffeur.
Yeah.
And the mama was a drunkard and she was having a thing with Nick the chauffeur. And Barbara really,
I think it was,
whacked.
But she had like a, yeah, but she had like a boyfriend that was there, something that the mom had a boyfriend that she laid out.
I loved her. She could always do that.
Oh, she was. She's one of my favorites too.
I think so, you know, in 1932, I totally love I Am a Fugitive from a Chain Gang. I thought that
I
was
agree.
An amazing movie. It was heartbreaking, and I'm gonna have to go with our Paul Muni as best actor there. And
I think first of all, I'm gonna agree with you on the best picture. I think Chain Gang, I think Paul Muni was a fabulous actor that sort of unfortunately sort of lost his you know, is sort of forgotten or faded a little bit, but at the time, he was one of the best actors of the 30s.
He was amazing. You told me that his wife was his agent. That's why he never went out and partied.
Yeah, and his wife was very, was like on the set all the time with him and very on top of it. I had for 32, these are my nominations, Purchase Price,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I had Animal Kingdom.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, this I know is one of your favorites, Faithless.
It is. It's the first pre-code I ever saw, and I was like, wow. Tallulah was amazing in that.
Yeah, she really was. I had Redheaded Woman, just because, again, it's I think for that's about as pure pre-code as you can get. Had Scarface. There's another Muni movie.
Oh, he was fab. And Ann Dvorak as...
Yeah, Ann Dvorak was really... And also George Raft.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that was the scene that started the gangster flipping the silver dollar.
That was amazing. That was
And then...
Red Dust. I love Red Dust.
Yeah. Red Dust is another clearly... code type of movie.
And I love, you know, because Mogambo came out in the 50s, but I say this one was an amazing one with,
I thought the Mogambo, I saw that and I thought it was sort of, I don't know, it was not real.
Yeah, I can't watch it. I didn't like it, but this one was great. I love Jean Harlow. What's her name? You know, Miss Cameron.
Oh, Mary Astor.
Mary Astor. And I never got that. I mean, oh, I know. He fell in love with a lady. Oh, she's a lady? She's married to a dude. And she starts banging Clark Gable the minute her poor husband, Gary, played by, what's that guy's name? He married Jeanette McDonald. What the heck is his name?
Gene Raymond?
Gene Raymond, yes. So yeah. I thought Fantine, played by Jean Harlow, was much more than a lady than our...
Yeah, I think that was sort of the idea, was that, you know, when you can't judge a book by its cover.
But they were calling her a lady, and I'm like, ew, come on, she is not a nice lady.
So my best actress for my nominations for... 32, Barbara Stanwyck for Purchase Price, Anne Harding for Animal Kingdom, Jean Harlow for Redheaded Woman, and then my winner is Tallulah Bankhead for Faithless, because I thought her part, I think she did just a phenomenal job.
She was amazing, starting as this rich woman, this snob, and then, my God, when she had to do what she had to do for her husband, she had to become a prostitute. She became a prostitute. And it was like, wow, you know, and then that horrible brother. I always knew you'd be a harlot in a show. The worst actor ever, I think. There's some really great movies. I loved Three on a Match. I loved...
Yeah, that was a good movie. That's an and the Dvorak movie, too.
Sign of the Cross. Ooh, did you ever see that one? Cecil B. DeMille.
I don't think I did.
You have to. It's like apes, you know, Christians being thrown to the lion, the whole nine yard. It is an amazing film. I don't know who I'd give. I guess I'm going to... Western Passage. Gee, there are so many good movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... And that's why when you look at the movies that... The movies that were the... nominees were Grand Hotel was the winner in 32, and that was a good movie.
That was very good.
Aerosmith, which was a Ronald Coleman movie.
Ew, you know who I don't like in movies is, and it's so funny because they always say this in a movie, Helen Hayes. She was a horrible pre-code actress. I thought she was unappealing. She was in Aerosmith as the wife. She was in a movie. I don't know what it's called.
She won the best actress Oscar that year for The Sins of Madeleine Cladeau.
Yes.
Cladet, which I never saw. I never saw that movie.
It was a good movie, but, you know, you just don't believe her as anything. And they say, like, in the movies, a lot of the times, the people that know her, she's not pretty. I don't know what he sees in her. And she doesn't come across to me in movies very well, so I have to say that. Five Star Final. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, that's a movie. It's got Edward G. Robinson in it. It's a newspaper movie, and it was okay. I didn't think it was the.
Neither did I. I didn't.
You know, I wouldn't certainly include it as, you know, in my list of the great movies of that year.
Well, best out.
And I don't think it was a great one of Edward G. Robinson's greatest movies either. To tell you
no, truth. Neither did I. I thought it was just very rote. You know what I mean? It was just sort of like here it was.
Going through the, yeah.
Nancy Voorhees. She was the worst actress ever. Oh, darling. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. So best actor that year was Frederick March from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Wait.
Frederick March and actually Annie tied with
Wallace Beery, the champ.
Right.
Yeah. I heard he was a horrible, horrible man.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of stories about him and none of them good.
Yeah. The kid, the one who played the champ. What's his name?
Jackie Cooper.
Yeah, he said, you know, that he was just a rotten creep. So, you know, I kind of take that as truth. Okay, so we're here at 1932-1933. Winner, Cavalcade. Did you ever see that flick?
I've never seen it. I saw a guy stumbled upon a YouTube of the opening night of the red carpet for Cavalcade, and it appeared like it was a, and I think I read the IMDb page, it's sort of like an upstairs downstairs British, you know,
lower class other what, but you know, it bored me. I didn't like it, and I can't imagine that they won it, but they did. And it went against 42nd Street, A Farewell to Arms, I'm Your Fugitive from Chain Gang, Lady for a Day.
And that's where you see, this is where we're getting into that difference in year.
Right.
Fugitive came out in late 32, so it's considered a 32 movie, but it won the 33 Academy.
It got nominated for 33. Little Women, Private Life of Henry VIII, She Done Him Wrong, Smiling Through, and State Fair. Best actress was Katharine Hepburn in Morning Glory, which I hated that movie. May Robeson, Lady for a Day, and Diana Winnard for Cavalcade. Ick. Charles Laughton won for Private Life of Henry VIII. Leslie Howard ran against him in Berkeley Square. The only part I liked about
Have
it
you ever
did you see that movie?
Yeah, actually, I liked that movie.
Yeah. They were like amazed that he wanted to take a bath every day and everybody's mouth. That was hysterical. I love that. And then Paul Muni, I am a fugitive from a chain gang, and I would have chosen him over Charles Laughton in The Private Life of Henry VIII.
I think that's one of those movies where Henry VIII is one of those movies where it sort of begs for an award because it's such an overtly, you know, you have to do so much in order to get into character. And, of course, Laughton was good at that. The movie that I chose is my best picture for 1933. And I know you say you don't like musicals, but I love – this might be one of my favorite pre-code movies ever, and that's 42nd Street. I love 42nd Street.
Was your girlfriend in there?
My girlfriend was very much in – actually, several of my girlfriends were there. Toby Wing had a big part in there, uncredited, of course. No one, her name's nowhere to be found, but she was sort of the girl that Dick Powell was singing to during one of the numbers for, I think it's called I'm Young and Hope. So she got quite a bit of screen time. You had the supporting, just a wonderful cast. Supporting cast was Ginger Rogers as Anytime Annie. The only time she didn't understand the question. You had Una Merkel.
She's one of your faves.
She's one of my faves, and so is Ginger.
Joan Blondell as well, right?
No, Joan wasn't in that one. Joan was in another one of those. Busby Berkeley did the choreography, so it's just outrageous. Guy Higbee was sort of the money guy. He had a toy car company in Cleveland. He's the one that put up the money in the middle of the Depression for them. Daniels played had the female role, and then of course Ruby Keeler, who was the female lead in the movie, and she's an acquired taste, but I think you know, she's very sort of, you know, I think that's why she was so popular. She wasn't particularly a good actress or a particularly good dancer or singer, but she's just so cute. And then to me, the actor who made the movie from that perspective is Warner Baxter, as the sort of the neurotic, almost suicidal producer.
I love Warner Baxter. Movie. He's a great actor.
That was, and that's where he had the, you know, and that movie has so many classic lines. I mean, you know, Warner Baxter, you know, they send out little Ruby Keeler to sub for the leading lady who broke her ankle in a drunken fight. And, you know, when, as she's leaving, Warner Baxter grabs her by the shoulders and goes, "You're going out a nobody and you're going to come back a star." I mean, how can you not like that movie?
That's so dramatic. You know, I've never seen it all the way through.
You have to. You have to listen for some great pre-code jokes in there.
Well, I will. Then I'll fast forward the music because that drives me nuts sometimes.
Well, it's the Busby Berkeley used the choreography and stuff. I mean, you don't want to miss that.
Well, it's amazing the choreography he does.
Yeah. But you know, there's a great there's this great pre-code line. There's like Una Merkel is, you know, they're doing this number and she's sitting on this guy's lap and the guy goes, "Hey, watch it," and she goes, "What am I doing? Flagpole sitting?" you're like, wow, where did that come from?
It's so funny. You hear these things. I know. In Mr. Skeffington, it always makes me laugh. Betty Davis does this, and she has this big scene. She becomes aged, and men love me, and And the guy, she said, "Do you ever think about those old days?" And he says, "Sometimes when I'm in the shower." What does that mean? You know what I mean? It's so funny. Catch it, kids. And this is in pre-code. So 1934, the winner of Best Picture was It Happened One Night.
And that's hard to beat. I think that one, I probably would have picked that one myself.
I love that movie.
The ones for 34 I had was my nominees were gay divorcee because I wanted to get a Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movie in there. The Thin Man.
I love that movie. It's fabulous.
I love that movie too. 20th Century, which I thought was a very good movie.
Oh, I love maybe that. Yes.
I think it was probably the start of the screwball comedy. Lombard is just so fantastic.
She is. So is John Barrymore. He was wonderful in that. And so was Roscoe Carnes. And so was the other guy, because Roscoe Carnes is so great in It Happened One Night. He's the one who says, "Oh, when you cold mama's heat up, watch out." He was sitting next to her. Yeah, cold. Oh, you cold mama's. I know what you happened. So he was great. He was in so
many. Then the last nominee I have for 34 is Imitation of Life. With Claudette Colbert.
You like that? I did not like that movie at all. It bugged me.
I thought it was one of the best movies of 34. I'm not saying it was like one of my. It was not a feel good movie, but it was. I thought it was one of the best movies that year.
You know what bothered me about that is because Bedelia. What was her name? The woman Bedelia.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Bedelia.
So she has this whole pancake thing, and then she's the face of the pancake thing. I don't want no money. Don't send me away. I want to rub your pretty feet. You know, things like that. It's like, give me a break. So Claudette is living the lap of luxury because of Bedelia's pancake mix. And Bedelia is living downstairs and, you know, here's Claudette in glamorous frocks and this and that. You know, at least in the other Imitation of Life, Annie is living upstairs and has her own bedroom and she's not rubbing her pretty feet. And that really bugged me. So I find it so racist, so horrible.
And 1930s.
I know, but that didn't mean I liked it. I just did not like it because I thought, you know.
My winner for 34 is 20th Century.
That's a good one.
I give it. You know, Gay Divorcee and Thin Man. You know, the thing with Gay Divorcee and Thin Man, they're both not the best movies in those particular series. You know, Top Hat is and Swing Time are probably the two best. The Stair Rogers movies, and really after the Thin Man, the second one is better than the first one.
You did? You like the second one? Thin Man?
Yeah, I do. I think the second one's better.
Isn't that really the one with James Stewart playing the bad guy? He totally didn't rock it. I didn't buy him.
You didn't? Well, part of it is you've got Jimmy Stewart from the following 40 years. Yeah. You know, at that time, his whole role was supposed to be the sweet guy who ends up being
a rotten creep.
Exactly.
But you know, it's funny. I was watching it with my mom, and my mom said, "I don't buy him being the bad guy," and I didn't either. I can go and see people in different roles and have no problem with it. I just didn't think he was convincing.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is that when you're making a movie, you're trying to, especially a whodunit like this, is, you know, you're trying to get, you usually know it's not the guy who looks like a crook. You know, it's usually somebody else because you're trying to find an unassuming type character to end up being the bad guy. So, and then my best actress, I have to give this to the lanky brunette with the wicked jaw, Myrna Loy, for The Thin Man. She never got as much as a nomination. So
she was an amazing actress. You know, I watched I Love You Again today, and a wonderful film where
it is.
You know, she falls in love with William Powell because he's just. He got amnesia, and he was this just total nerd bomb. And then he gets his memory back, and he used to be a hood. And she falls in love with him, that he's just this really, you know, he's no cheapo anymore. He drinks.
Right.
He has that suave mustache. And I love that movie. That's such a wonder. I think that's one of my favorite movies they've done. It's really, really good. I just love William Powell. He's amazing.
And they're a great pair. I'm trying to think that there was a movie, where they were married, and he ran into Gail Patrick on the elevator on their anniversary day.
Yes, and her feet are in his face. What's the name of it? Yeah, I can't think of it.
No, it's driving me crazy. Yeah, I thought that was a real good one too. Those are the non-thin man type of movies,
right? And they're adorable together. And I can't believe she didn't get nominated for anything. But
so,
34 was It Happened One Night, Best Picture, Best Director Frank Capra. It Happened One Night, Best Actor. Clark Gable for It Happened One Night, and Best Actress Claudette Colbert for It Happened One Night.
And if you look at the actors on that year, I didn't think see anybody that they listed or that I could find. William Powell, the Thin Man, Black Fury with Paul Muni, I never saw that.
Me either.
Frank Morgan in The Affair of Cellini.
Never heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not, and again, it goes back to, a lot of these pre-COVID movies, the oomph, the meaty parts were the females.
Yes.
I had Ricardo Cortez and Mandalay.
I love Ricardo. I'm supposed to have the author of Ricardo's biography on, because I think he's fascinating.
That would be good.
Yes.
So I had him. I had Fred Astaire and Gay Divorcee, and then I had James Cagney in Here Comes the Navy. I saw that.
I never saw that.
Just trying to throw up a third. Yeah, it's nothing. Don't go out of your way.
So. But we didn't even talk our favorite, Kay Francis.
No. Well, actually, see, since we're doing this, our own little Oscars here, I came up with, how they have special Oscars, like lifetime achievement and things.
Uh-huh.
I came up with some special topics here, special tinnies for Tinseltown. and I got like four of them here. So I'm going to, there are about five things here. Well, the first one is I have the Achievement Award. This goes to the best actors for the entire decade of the 30s and should have gotten 10 straight best actress Oscars, but didn't even get a stinking nomination award. And that goes to Kay Francis.
I agree with you. She was the fabulous Kay Francis, and she's
lavishing too.
Lavishing is right. I love her, and she was perfect in Precodes. She was wonderful, and what did you call her? Screaming Meanie in the one with
Carol.
Yeah, that was her comeback. And Carol liked her a lot and put her in there.
Okay, and then the another. I've got like four or five of these awards here. Worst casting award, and this goes to, I just kind of came up with one. I don't think you need any more. The movie God's Gift to Women, Frank Fay. I don't understand that.
Well, I've never seen that, and all I know about Frank Fay is that he was married to Barbara Stanwyck.
Yeah.
And they had a kid, and he was a drunk
and a real son of a bitch.
They said that they were like A Star Is Born, Frank Fay and Babs.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of she was shooting up and he was going down.
Yeah, he was coming down, down, down.
Okay, so here's a new category for you. And this one, you got to pick somebody. Okay?
Okay, I will.
Here's our tinny here. This goes to the most effective use of lingerie as a plot device.
Hmm.
Okay. First nominee, Jean Harlow and Una Merkel, Redheaded Woman.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Jean and Una swap lingerie in bed, and then Jean passes on wearing a slip on a sunny day. Remember the show The Boys? Remember that?
Can you see my legs through here? Yes.
The second one. Yeah. Sorry, ma'am, I can't. Oh, good. Okay, the second nominee, Barbara Stanwyck and Joan Blondell for Night Nurse. They dress with the door open so a pervy intern can watch them dress. And then later, Joan sleeps with a skeleton and then ends up in bed with Babs. Okay. And here's your third one. Marion Hopkins and Claudette Colbert in The Smiling Lieutenant. Claudette discovers the problem with Marion and Marie Chevalier's marriage is that she's wearing boring underwear. So you get to select who wins the award there in the lingerie as a plot device.
I'm going to go with number one.
With Jean Harlow and Una Merkel and the yes. Redhead Woman?
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny. Get out of that is. My underwear. And they just take it off and do it like that. I like all of them, but I think that's the best.
Okay, and then the next award we have, this is the Lifetime Achievement Award for Greatest Uncredited Chlorine in a of All Time. And that's, of course, Toby Wing, right?
Well, I'm going to let you go with Toby Wing because you did so much work. I never heard of her before in my life.
And now every pre-code movie you watch, you're looking in the background for
Toby
a platinum
Wing.
Ball.
Yeah. Who's never, well, that funny quote, she was, what was it, that she was hardly clothed?
She had small parts and barely clothed.
That was hysterical. What do I call her, Toby West?
Yeah, you call her Toby Keith, like the country music singer. Okay, and then here's my last one.
Okay.
Most wooden leading man. George Brent or John Bowles, and my third pick was who could be worse.
Yeah, boy, I'm going to go for Bowles. John Bowles is the worst. He has no personality. He is bland, and George Brent, all the broads were hot for him. Betty had a
thing. Yeah, well, he sort of had that rugged outdoors look.
Yeah, but he was like fun off. Thing. All these women wanted him, but you know what? He comforts me. Where John Bowles, I just want to smack his face.
Yeah, and George Brent. You know, I've seen some. So there's a couple of. George Brent was a frequent co-star with K2, and there's a couple scenes where he's a tough guy and starts throwing some punches and things like that. So I think I would probably go with John Bowles too.
Yeah, because he's a total drip.
Okay, here's my last one. Here's my last one.
Okey-doke.
Okay, this is the name of this award is, quote, You Act Like There's Something Wrong With This. Okay, first nominee is Designed for Living. Marion Hopkins, Gary Cooper, and Frederick March are all in love and living
like a threesome,
together.
Yeah.
Like a threesome. Mm-hmm. Number two, Tarzan finds a mate. Marina Sullivan changes clothes in front of her father, Aubrey Smith, while talking about the good old days in England. Very peculiar scene. Very, very unsettling.
Yeah.
The third one is Madame Satan, where Kay Johnson dresses up like a catwoman on acid to find out if her husband has been doing the deed with Lillian Roth. So which one of those do you think fits better into You Act Like There's Something, nothing, like this is something unusual?
I guess I'd have to go with Miriam Hopkins because I hated Madame Satan. And what was the second one?
Tarzan Finds a Mate with Marina Sullivan.
Yeah, that's
changing
kind of
clothes.
Creepy, too.
That is. That's
I think that's number one. That's number one.
Yeah, that's a little creepy. Although the Design for Living, they're trying to sell you on the fact that there's nothing going on, no hanky panky. But boy, there's
hanky panky.
Yeah, there's something going on. Yeah, there's got
this is pre-code, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have our man Edward Horton sort of slinking around too in that one.
I love him. He was great.
He does. He's funny. Every movie he did, he was great. He was great.
Well,
that's the thing. What? As I said, the supporting actor with a lot of these movies in the 30s and 40s, supporting actors really make the movies.
I love Lyle Talbot. He was a huge pre-code guy. His son is around. I told you, right? I'm trying to find
him.
Yeah,
I think you said you were trying to. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had like 11 kids. And he was on one of
And he lived to he lived to a pretty old age. I mean, I think he lived well into his 90s.
He did. And also David Manners. Did you ever see The Singer? Oh my God. That is a hoot and a half.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's based on Rudy Valley. And this guy is such, he falls in love with himself, and he all of a sudden starts singing from a megaphone, and everybody falls in love with him. And he looks into the mirror, and he just stares at himself while he's singing. It's hysterical. David Manners is a riot. And so, and Dvorak is in that as well. It's a good movie. Just yeah, to laugh. Just to laugh.
Yeah, I like David Manners, and he was in a movie with Kay, Man Wanted. And I thought
he played his secretary, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he was actually, my girl Una Merkel was in that one too. That was his fiance that he ended up dumping for
Kay Francis, for the Lavishing Girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we're at 1 hour, 23 minutes. And
wow.
I think we've done fabulously. And I
we've covered a lot of ground. We covered a lot of movies.
We did. And I want to thank you, Stephen, because you did so much of the work, so much of the prep. And I really appreciate that. And you're fabulous.
Oh, no, thanks. I enjoy it.
As usual. And we're going to do it again, I hope, because I love you being my co-host and talking stuff. I really do. It's fun.
Oh, good. I have fun, too. It's always fun.
Yes.
It's always fun to find people who have similar interests as you, and they're a little bit crazy about these old movies.
Yes. So. You said something very funny about it, like we're weirdos who care about people who have been dead for 100 years or something. And it's
well, what we were talking about, we were all fretting over the fact that Olivia de Havilland and her sister hadn't talked for the last 65 years of their life. You know, like, well, they're, you know, they're both in their 90s.
Well, Joan's dead, and Olivia's taking her case to the Supreme Court. Yeah. Get down with you, some bad self, 102-year-old.
I tell you, I tell you what, she's not going to, no one's going to get anything over on Olivia de Havilland.
Well,
if she
there
is
was
in her hundreds.
This book that I was so excited to get called The Feud. And it was supposed to come out in a couple of months, and obviously Olivia put the kibosh on that. But you know what? In the movie Feud about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis, you know, Olivia, she was played by Catherine Zeta-Jones, and there was nothing I could see that would be so horrifying or, you know, anything that would be bad.
I think Olivia was very possessive of her image, or has been, and I think that she did not, you know, it's not a matter of whether or not it was something bad, as it was the fact she didn't have the
control.
Have the right. They did not give her permission, and she did not have control of it. It's the same sort of thing. You know, you always hear things about, you know, pro football teams will send a letter to a high school that's using their logo saying cease and desist. It's not because they're trying to be mean to those high school kids. It's because, you know, they're trying to stay in control of their intellectual property.
Yeah. And I, you know, get down with you, some bad self, going to the Supreme Court.
Well, like I said, man, hey, you know, she went to the Supreme Court in, what was it, 48, and she was the one that blew up the whole studio.
Right.
System.
She's
so,
also,
you know,
always been a feisty broad. So, 102 and still doing that, I say.
Yeah,
oh,
like I said, she's
go.
Not going to, I wouldn't mess with her.
Me either. She scares me. Okay, everybody. This has been really fun for us. I hope you guys enjoy it, because we went here, there, and everywhere. And Stephen, I want to thank you for co-hosting with me. I love you doing it. I hope you do it again. And thanks, everybody. True Stories from Tinseltown. Come to the Facebook page. I'm trying to be able to let people post there. Maybe I'll get it right one of these old days. There's also a True Stories from Tinseltown group. But it's only me and Steve. So we're growing.
But we have a good time.
We have a fabulous time. We have just a marvelous time. So, you know, groups, schmoops. Anyway, thank you, Steve. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Shining star for you to see what your life can.